We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, November 4th. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I'm me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015. I'm fired up today, man. It's having the bye week to relax and watch football, but then it's like the anticipation. You want to watch more football, you know, and you're football, right? And you also have to get Fubo and Sling in order to do it, but I don't think we're going to address that.
Right? I feel like this about to say this particular subject has been covered left, right, and center, and just watching two large greedy corporations trying to claim victimhood is just always funny to me. So
yeah, but bad mouse, yeah. Bad
Google, Disney, y'all figure it out. I don't care. Yeah.
Yep. I will say that I did get Fubo, which is Sling. I guess it's the same, or Sling, right? I don't know exactly how that works, but I got it and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know, the visual setup of it is pretty much the same as YouTube TV. So
yeah,
the only gripe we've had so far in this household was my wife wondering where all of her Grey's Anatomy recordings are. She is pissed.
I can imagine.
Yeah, she's not very happy about that. So
yeah.
But outside of that.
Now,
Terrible
week of picks.
Terrible. We're awful at this.
There's not a lot
to recap. I mean, we can talk about the games that we picked, but I mean, we went 1-4, right?
Not very good.
So they have a pulse. USC, we got USC right. North Carolina and Syracuse was a random game we picked. Nothing crazy happened in the Carrier Dome. Somehow North Carolina managed to win. Arkansas, yet again, they just find new and exciting ways to give away football games every week. It's fascinating. And then, of course, we hate picked with Vandy. So,
yeah. Once again, not a whole hell of a lot to get into with all of that run. I mean, good game for Texas. I mean, you run out there and punch them in the mouth early and get up on them, which is exactly what you need to do on the at home in a situation like that.
I mean, if you haven't seen the SEC shorts yet, you definitely need to. It was okay, but it talked a lot about, you know, the blackout with ESPN and everything. But when they're doing the radio and they're like, "And Vandy and Texas are about to kick off, and Texas is winning," are you kidding me? That was as soon as that happened, and I saw that tackling, I was like, "Oh no! Mm-hmm. Oh, Vanderbilt let their defense in Tennessee."
Yeah, defense did not travel that week. I will say, The interaction, the fact that we have a little love triangle going on between battered Aggie syndrome and hope with A&M is great.
Let's hope
that continues. No pun intended, you know, with hope. Now, for those of you who are regular viewers of the podcast, you may notice that once again, I am not at my house, nor am I at my fiance's house. I am currently in Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri.
Missouri.
I am in enemy territory. I'm only about an hour and a half away from Columbia right now.
Are you guys going to try and go?
Man, I wish I could. So the plan of attack is right now. I went ahead and put it on TexAggs for anybody who knows, but we are playing. And the best part is the fact that the game is at 2:30. Perfect. Game's over by 5:36, you know, whatever that time frame looks like. If you're in Columbia and you have nothing else better to do, which you don't. I'm telling you right now, you don't. You need to come to the Blue Note and come watch a fighting Texas Aggie and his boss, who's a fighting Texas Aggie, opening for Randall King over there in Columbia, Missouri. So if you're in and around, we'd love to see you guys. But
yeah, if you're at the game, you'll be done. And it's not like the tailgating scene in Missouri is worth a crap. Been there, it is not.
Yeah. It's an interesting matchup.
This is one of those where before the season started, things looked different, right? And yeah. I heard this on the radio earlier this morning. Nuno was talking about it. And apparently there's Sips hate watching Tech's Eggs. Like, I can't ever imagine spending my morning watching Orange Bloods or Inside Texas or any of that crap.
Right.
But and they're commenting on the YouTube page. And this season has turned out differently than we thought, right? Because you just look at the opponents and how they've kind of fared in their seasons. We were looking at LSU and Missouri as really, really tough games. LSU's fired their coach. Missouri's lost a couple. And now they don't have their starting quarterback. But what was ironic to me, and the lack of self-awareness would be outstanding had I not grown up around Sips. They're like, well, oh yeah, now you get a backup quarterback. Bro, Chacho, do not even start with me after last year. It's like, would they have four games where they got the backup quarterback?
I mean, extending
Dynamic.
into this season, they've had multiple games where they were
Yeah, even that.
facing, I mean, facing backup quarterbacks. So, I mean, that's just injuries are part of the game. That's one thing that we've come to know. And unfortunately, we know way better than a lot of people. When you are dealing with these type of injuries, these type of issues, it's just part of the game. You have to make your adjustments. All that's happening to us is you've now introduced an X factor with a freshman starting quarterback. You don't know what he's going to do. Now, you can make assumptions based on
Yeah.
what you've seen from A&M and you know what we're capable of. The likelihood is he's probably going to be flustered. It's his first start. You're going up against a top five team and you have one of the best defensive linemen in, defensive lines in the country. Bullying you, trying to get to you, that's going to put a lot of pressure on you as a freshman starting quarterback, no question.
Well, I think when it comes to assumptions, though, I mean, we're 9 games in, and I get that he hasn't played a whole lot of meaningful snaps. I mean, he had some off duty against Vanderbilt, I believe, threw touchdown, threw for like 138 yards on the mop-up duty. But the entire offense should be in play for this kid at this point because he's had enough reps in practice. And I understand that we're going to throw a different look at him. And I'll get into that in a second. But you can't assume like a whole lot of anything when it comes to plug and play quarterbacks. And I like you said, like this is it's not going to be a tough environment because he's at home, so he's got that going for him, right? He's got all of fall camp, or no, he didn't have fall camp. Maybe, but I don't know if he was an early enrollee, but he had, he had spring ball. He had all the workout, all the time he had in the summer, and he's had all of this season in practice as being the number two, right? They've got a true freshman as a number two quarterback. So there's some talent there. I mean, that's a given. I pulled up some of his stats. His junior year in high school, he completed just under 63% of his passing for almost 3,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, and only two interceptions.
Pretty good.
Ran for 420 and seven touchdowns, but rushing stats for athletic people in high school, I think, for when it comes to quarterbacks, I mean, 420 yards over an entire season really isn't a lot. Seven TDs is maybe just a lot of goal line work kind of stuff,
Could be.
but the kid can throw the ball, right? So, I mean, 63% completion rate is okay. I mean, I think that's in the realm where, when Marcel's there, we go, I'd like it to be better. And 63% in high school it's an interesting stat because, like, you ain't playing in the SEC, man. You ain't playing at a college level. 63% is a bit of a do you have an arch arm kind of thing? Like, is it just an accuracy thing? So it doesn't seem to be necessarily a dual threat quarterback by any means. Yeah, the only stats for some reason, I was just kind of looking it up, but gave me his junior year stats. So he might have been an early enrollee. I mean, I don't think he's a redshirt freshman, so he might have gotten fall ball or spring ball in. I don't know, but the whole playbook is in play for Missouri and for us scheming for their offense. But I think you hit the nail on the head. The biggest key to this game is getting an early start, and I mean on defense. I'm not even talking about scoring points. I mean like they need two or three drives in a row to start the game where they either go three and out or it ends in a kick.
Establish yourself in the game. Put the pressure on them.
Put the pressure on them because I know they're going to want to use Hardy, right? Hardy's their offense kind of revolves around. He's a good running back. But if you look at his stats, I mean, they don't like blow you off the paper per se. If you look at his conference stats, they're not that great. Them losing Prabula is that's tough, man. It's just a tough blow for a Missouri team that I think we can all agree is pretty good. I mean, they're not elite. I don't think they're national championship caliber by any means. I don't know that they're a playoff team, but they're not a bad football team. Eli Drinkwitz runs a good program.
Yeah, they're middle of the road SEC right now in terms
Yeah.
of what we've seen. I mean, they're 2-2, about as middle of the road as you can get.
Who's around? Do you have the standings by any chance?
I can pull those up. So right now, Tennessee is south of Vanderbilt in Tennessee, just ahead of LSU in Florida. So if you're looking at what we have on the schedule going forward. All the teams that we have beaten at this point are south of Missouri in terms of their ranking in the SEC.
Who else is 2-2 with him?
Just them right now. LSU's 2-3, Tennessee's 3-3, Vanderbilt's 3-2. They haven't played a whole hell of a lot of conference games yet.
Those four are just kind of all grouped together then, basically.
Yeah. So,
So let's break it down then. All right, Missouri versus Tennessee. Who do you think wins that game? Probably a pretty damn good football game, quite
probably a
frankly.
good football game. I mean, you gotta, man, after last week, maybe Missouri.
Yeah, and I'm talking
Tennessee did
right
not
now.
impress me in that Oklahoma game. They just didn't. I mean, they had so many opportunities. I'm watching this game, watching how Tennessee played that game. And I'm asking myself, how on earth is Oklahoma winning this football game? And then it just stayed that way up until the end.
Yeah, so I mean, Missouri loses a close one to Alabama earlier in the year, but
Right. And a close one to Vanderbilt, which.
yeah, they lost to Vanderbilt. Do they beat Tennessee? I don't know. That's probably a coin flip. That might be a whoever's home team kind of game.
Right.
Do they beat LSU? I think they beat LSU right now.
I would say they beat LSU, based on what we've seen with Brian Kelly. Now, with the revamp, whatever, everybody just with nothing to lose at the back end of the season. I mean, the fact that your governor's running pretty much the everything going on over there. I mean, that's complete chaos in
That
Louisiana. All I'm gonna say is Mike Elko's halftime speech likely broke the state of Louisiana, and I'm not crying about it.
has just been such an incredible thing to watch over the last couple of weeks. Is
Crazy.
it's unbelievable. And I don't know if you've heard any clips. Somebody was interviewing Edo, and he's like, "I love to go back. I love my Tigers."
Yeah,
But
do you remember why he got fired though?
yeah. Well, the thing is first of all, LSU will never hire Edo because that requires them to really eat a lot of crow, right?
Right. And nobody wants to do that.
No, well, and LSU's not going to do it. Of all the programs, they're probably top five that they don't believe in humility. And we talked about this before. If they were smart, they'd go to Tulane and grab him. I think he's a good coach because
I
right now,
agree.
the amount of just the sheer number of coaching openings right now is insane.
Right. You're about to see a lot of pilfering of some of these better than average group of five coaches. I think you're going to see a lot of those guys get looked at. Of
A
course,
really good way to put it. That's a really,
there's going to be some coordinator hires. There's going to be some other, some of those type of moves. Some people trying to shoot big to go get the big names. But right now, it's hard to look at this whole situation and not look at a guy like, Tulane and say, this guy understands Louisiana. He gets it. He might be worthwhile just bringing in just to reset everything. And maybe he's the right guy. Maybe he's not. But I would think it's a smarter hire than, you trying to throw. Like, I heard a rumor. Now, I don't know how true this rumor is, but the rumor is apparently LSU is offering Nick Saban like $60 million to coach 3 years, and then he gets to set his successor after those 3 years.
Nick Saban has grown into his job with College Game Day. I think he loves it. I think Miss Terry is happy with him no longer coaching. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. And also, a guy like Nick Saban understands if you get back in and you don't win, you're kind of screwing your reputation a little bit. And Nick Saban worked a lot of years for his reputation. And you saw it when he went to the NFL and failed. What did he do? He went back to college to make sure that his legacy and his reputation, it was basically untarnished. Nobody even thinks about his time at Miami. And we all
Right.
know it was a failure, but
Yeah, it
we don't
wasn't
care.
great.
He just fine. It didn't work out in the pros. So, and that's where I think you'll see guys like Brian Kelly and James Franklin. They have all the money in the world. There's no reason to coach, but they want to coach, man. And they want to make sure that their name is still, reputable, and they want to go out on a high note. And obviously getting canned ain't the way to do it. And that's why I think you'll see Jimbo Fisher probably back in college, which is absolutely insane to say out loud, but I think you will. I think he'd be a great fit at, at Virginia Tech or somewhere in the ACC. Again, go back to the ACC. But I think on the other hand, you see all these openings and you realize that there are probably some universities that are going to be like, oh, we got to hold on for one more year because we don't want to compete against some of these schools, like some of these names, LSU, Penn State, like. Do you want to throw your hat in the ring knowing that you're not going to get the best guys?
Well, and I mean, yeah, and just to pile upon that, now Auburn's in there because Hugh Freeze is out. Like, that's just another Another coaching hire that's going to have to get thrown into this cycle. Man, it's all I know for sure is like the day after we get done with rivalry week, and everybody's going to start kind of really hammering home these coaching searches. It's going to be pure chaos trying to keep up with all that. I vividly remember the coaching carousel graphics that Texags would always put out. Holy mother of God.
Yeah, this one, it's complete carnage, man. And what do they call it, Black Monday, when all the coaches get fired. Because we're nowhere near done with how many firings are going to occur. We're nowhere near done.
No. God, I would not. I mean, for the pay aspect, I totally understand somebody wanting to be a college football coach. But man, just the amount of moving parts these days and the expectations set and the precedent now set with all of these firings that you're seeing, I'm hoping it comes more back to balance. People start recognizing that, guess what? You're not going to make the playoff every year. You're going to lose some games. You're going to be on the outside looking in, but you have to have the opportunity to take advantage of the NIL, go get the guys that you need, and make that run the next year if you need to. Not sit here and just, oh, well, this guy went from being a playoff caliber Final Four team, missed out on the playoff by 3 points, to him getting fired the next year. That is insanity to me.
Well, I think in part of it, when you talk about expectations, something that's really gone into this, and you kind of hit on it, it's the timelines within the expectations. And this sport, and again, for the umpteenth time, not against players getting paid, all right?
No.
But once you had NIL, and once you saw schools utilize the portal, well, really not NIL, the portals, excuse me. So once you had the portal and this whole you had to sit out a year and all this other crap, all these rules went away, and you saw coaches be successful with bringing in players, kind of like a free agent market, and then succeed that very next year. The entire mindset and expectation for your coach and your program has completely changed. You're like, why don't you just go get good players? Why don't you just go get good players? Just spend some money. And every fan on the planet is great at spending somebody else's money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where's our NIL donors? Why aren't they ponying up? And you're like, take a look in the mirror, homie. But it's just everything has changed, and the expectations are unrealistic. Well, I won't say they're unrealistic in a handful of programs,
Sure.
right? It's, if you're Alabama, if you're LSU, if you're Ohio State, I mean, you can throw Penn State into there, I guess. Texas, A&M, the
Michigan.
Michigan, the big hitters in NIL and successful programs as of late. And I know we're throwing us in there. I'm not saying we've had a lot of success, but we're big hitters in the NIL world. Like
Right.
we have the money. That's just all there is to it. I get the expectations being there, but even then, at that different tier of expectations, they're still a bit unrealistic from time to time. I mean, I think the LSU situation with Brian Kelly is weird to me just because of the timing of it. I mean, what do you gain by firing him now as opposed to firing him at the end of the year? I mean, what do you gain? Literally,
Well,
I don't see any advantage to it. And you look like a program, and them in Penn State have now put themselves into a category where they're like, you're not getting the job done. I'm just going to can you right now. And at some point, if they do that again, how many coaches are going to want to go work for that athletic department and that director? If that AD is still there, what coach is going to go, well, I mean, if I don't do it in 2.5 years, you're going to can me? I mean, great payout, I guess. But
sure.
especially if LSU thinks they can set a precedent with this contract that's incentive based, which is laughable at best. Because what, I mean, why? I mean, why? Why would you take that contract if you can just take a contract to Penn State that's guaranteed?
Exactly. And that's where you're going to see a lot of disparity is going to be, the various different type of contracts. What type of coaches are, I mean, what are they going to want to do? I mean, the whole, I'm going to say, it's just chaos, man.
It's money driven,
It's money.
and that is what it is. Yeah, we could have a whole podcast where we just sit around and complain about how money's ruined the sport and blah blah blah.
Which
But
we could definitely look at after championship weekend. Because after all this goes down.
but anybody that's still having these arguments, like money's ruined the sport, money's like, I think at some point you just have to go, okay, well, this is what it is, and we have to embrace it. So if money is gonna, if this is what this sport is, and we want to be successful, then we just gonna have to suck it up. And you can hate it all you want to, but that doesn't change the fact that you have to be a part of it.
Very true. I mean,
Well,
and
I mean, I guess you don't. You can be Dabo.
you could be Dabo and sitting here and wondering what's going to happen to your reputation when it's all said and done. See where you look at obviously what Saban did. Saban, give Nick Saban a lot of credit. He saw the writing on the wall and got out when he needed to get out. Because the reality is, does Nick Saban do well in this modern NIL era?
No, and that's and it's true. And that doesn't by any means change the reputation of what Nick Saban has done, the dynasty.
No,
Unbelievable, right?
absolutely not.
But his model of having five-star recruits playing on special teams and waiting their turn is no longer a thing in today's world, because that five-star at Alabama, he may not start in 30 other programs in the country, but he'd be the star at one school that'll give him $1 million a year. And the kid's like, well, if I can go be a star, get all the snaps I want, get paid, and get a highlight and put up enough stats to where the NFL looks at me, why would I sit here in Tuscaloosa and be a tackling dummy for 2 years? So it's that kind of thing. The players and the championship teams moving forward will be the ones who have NIL banks and understand how to properly utilize the portal. Because if you look at the transition, so remember Jimbo, all he did was count stars in that class, right? He wanted to set a record for recruiting class. You know what he didn't do? Fill the necessary spots, right? And
Right.
so, but you take that, now you move it over into the NIL world. Well, you can go pay a kid 2 million, like go pay, three kids 2 million, all at the same position, and it's not going to do you any good. We saw what Elko did. He didn't just go out and blow NIL money. He identified people specifically in positions that he knew had, that he knew were weaknesses on both sides of the ball. He went out and recruited them, because remember, this is still recruiting. I mean,
Right.
money's part of the pitch, but everybody that's a player's got money. So you're talking, everybody kind of knows market value. These agents are smart. They're not going to ask for too much. They're not going to ask for too little. Programs have figured it out. They understand market value of these players. And he went out and identified the needs of the program, and that's how he utilized the NIL money. And so that's where I think you're going to see the teams that are successful moving forward until any sort of rules change are going to be the ones that have the coaches that are more worried about success than they are fame.
Right.
Because with success comes fame, but having the highest NIL budget in the land and landing the biggest player, but if you blow all your NIL money on that player and you don't identify other needs, just high school recruiting isn't going to do it anymore. But there's a lot of buts in this. Sorry, I'm going off. Sorry, but you still got to recruit high school. But I also think that high school recruiting has altered a bit, right? Since
Right.
there's NIL money to offer to these kids, but you're also able to identify, positions of need with players that have experience in Division I football, maybe Division II, but Division I football. And these kids are going to have to expect maybe now to their freshman year, they are going to be a bit of a tackling dummy. You can play on special teams, but don't expect to play a lot, because when we need like somebody to step up, bro, you're 18 years old, and I can get a 20-year-old from Mississippi State right now that's played in conference for a year.
Yeah. So
So
I
million
think what,
moving parts.
yeah, I'm about to say, I think what you'll end up seeing is maybe there's like a limit on the number of players you can bring in per cycle. And maybe that's like one part of it. Like you still have to have a certain number of recruited spots that you have to have. And I don't know if it goes that direction, but I think you're going to have to see some form of balance to this.
It's like
Just to kind of,
the homegrown thing in the Premier League kind of thing.
right. I mean, you're going to end up seeing, kind of a leveling of the playing field as time goes. But right now, we are in the Wild West while this whole thing is trying to get itself shaken out. So,
Oh, 1,000%. And that's
yeah.
why, on the back end of this, when players leave, you got to start realizing these are business decisions, man. And not everybody makes the right business decision. I'm not going to knock on any individual players. We don't do that on this podcast. Some
No.
make good decisions, some make bad decisions, some chase the money, and they probably could have stayed, and some chase the opportunity. And I think the opportunity for meaningful snaps means more than the money, but every kid's going to make their decision. They're influenced by these agents. And unfortunately, there's a lot of agents out there, and I think this is true across the sports agent world, that don't have their clients' best interests in mind. It is literally all about the greenbacks. And it's unfortunate, because a lot of these kids are maybe making moves that they shouldn't make, but financially it seems like a really good decision right now. But it's the difference between, what is it like? Would you rather give me $10,000 or like a penny a day, and it doubles, or that little mathematical thing?
Right. And I mean, and that's the other side of it, right? I mean, you have these sports agents who are, I mean, call it what it is, I mean, taking advantage of young people. Granted, the parents can certainly help out with the kids and try to give them some pointers. But when it comes to this type of money, especially at this stage, it's hard to not look at, a payout. Especially for a family, maybe you grew up in a, less than ideal situation and you're getting offered this kind of money. I mean, life-changing money. to go play at a particular school?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of these contracts are 100% life-changing money. They would be for 95% of the population,
No
basically.
question.
It's just, and it's, yeah, and every situation is going to be different, right? Every single one. And some of these kids are making the decision to get life-changing money and be in really good situations. So, I
And
mean,
those are
they're not
great.
all making bad decisions by any means. Like Craver and Concepcion, fantastic idea to leave Mississippi State, by the way. Yeah. And we
And
love having them
NC
there.
State, yeah.
But yeah. And it's, yeah, NC State, Mississippi State, like, I mean, look at those two programs. Look where you are now. It's not just that you're getting meaningful snaps. You're spotlighted in the nation.
Might say you're competitive right
And you're
now,
competitive.
not just, I mean, not just for an SEC title, but potentially more. You're in position to do that, and you've largely been a big part of that, both of you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Elko talks about it all the time. The thing we were missing, well, everybody talks about this because we know it, because we've seen it with our own eyes. We're missing explosive players. And that's something that we have in droves now. It's not just talent, but it's explosiveness as well. So, again, I don't even know where we started this.
So we
LSU,
started this talking about Missouri
Missouri.
and A&M. Like I said, this is one of those trains of thought that just went well off the rails into Never Never Land. So we're here now.
But
We'll
all
start.
good points.
All great points. Absolutely great points. Now, with A&M getting ready to take on Missouri, what is the particular matchup that you are very interested in? I guess, in addition to that, what at this stage would you say is going to be A&M's biggest pain point coming into this game?
So the biggest matchup, I'm kind of thinking about it. Like I'm kind of torn. Because the low-hanging fruit is our defensive line versus their offensive line, right? With a freshman
Sure.
quarterback. Like that's the low-hanging fruit. You know what I want to go with? I want to go with linebackers slash corners because I think, and this is what you do with a new quarterback, right? Get the ball out of his hands quickly.
Yes.
Tackling in the flats and tackling the swing passes and the screen passes. So I'm going to go with that as like the key matchup this week is linebackers and corners and safeties when they come up is making the tackle in open space in the flats. I think that's probably the most important thing we need to worry about this week. Offensively, I don't have any worries. Their defense is good. It is. I mean, it ranks well in the SEC, but I just, our offense has shown that there's not a lot of concern there. I guess maybe penalties, but that's on both sides of the ball. And
Yeah.
we've been better about that. Speaking of penalties, you see that Arkansas line? 18 penalties for 183 yards.
I thought we had it bad. That was ridiculous.
Woof. That'll
Woof.
be my biggest matchup on either side of the ball, quite frankly. I know we want to say defensive line because if we can get home and get him rattled, you make life easy with a freshman quarterback. But I'm
Right.
going to go with tackling in the flats, whether that's corners or linebackers. Now, pain point? Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
go with yours. I got to think
I'm
about pain
about to say
points.
my pain point's gonna be just that early start on the road. I know it's not at 11, but like just when you're on the road, getting that early start in the game, right? I think that's going to be big for me, is setting some good momentum right out the gate. You're coming off of a bye week, so are they, but you're coming off of a bye. You need to avoid sluggishness. You need to avoid complacency from previous weeks, which granted, if there's anything I learned from watching this pet last Pulse, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I mean,
No.
the fact that Elko came out and said, congratulations, you've won 8 games. We've done some things we haven't done in a very, very long time. You still haven't won shit. I'm like, that's amazing. And that's a great mindset. And seeing around the room that was the general vibe, like, these are business trips. Yes, it's important that you went on the road and just slapped around LSU in their home building. I mean, that was cathartic in every sense of the word. How do you follow that up? You get through this bye week, you go out and do your job. You find a way to win by at least a couple scores on the road just to get yourself some good feeling, momentum. You maybe take the crowd out of it pretty early. Those are the type of things I want to see out of this team in this game. Just go out there and punch them in the mouth.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point with it being like that LSU win was like cathartic. But you know what? The players felt the same way. I
Yeah.
mean, they're not the teams that hadn't won in Death Valley. These really aren't. I mean, there's a couple of players that hadn't, but it was probably only once.
No, it's more for
But
us, the fans.
you can see like the team embracing the fact that they are kicking down so many doors this season that previous teams would not have done, right? And it's such a business mindset though. Like go about your business, get better every week. Hey, we are seeing the Elko effect in this program from top to bottom. And for me, I think that's big. I love it being 2:30 though. I hate 11 a.m.s. I hate 11 a.m.s at home,
On the road?
but at 2:30, I can take a 2:30 all day, man. That's fine with me. Missouri, they're coming off a loss to Vanderbilt, right?
And a bye
And
week.
lost to Vanderbilt, then bye week. So I mean, the freshmen did get an extra week of reps, which is can do nothing but help.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
huge. It'd be
But
great.
I think defensively, we've probably got some stuff that we're going to throw at them that we haven't put on tape at all.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Illinois, well, to see Missouri kind of pull out some of the stops as far as like trick plays and other things, mainly because what do they have to lose at this point?
They've got to win out.
Right.
I mean,
Like that's the only option.
they have to win out. And so, yeah, I mean, I could see a little trickeration kind of fun stuff, but that stuff only lasts so long. You can only do
You're
so
right.
many of them in the game. And they're significantly harder to pull off with a freshman quarterback who hasn't started.
Right.
I think Missouri's offense is good, but again, this is a Purbula offense that's good. They're averaging 6.12 yards per play. That's a great amount of efficiency. That's an insane amount of efficiency.
Yeah.
But it does it like again, last or 2 weeks ago, Missouri's offense is not this offense in the sense of firepower from Purbula. I
Well, and
think they're
not to
going to
mention
run.
they only scored 10 points on Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and that was with Prabula. And I mean, maybe Zoller comes in and we make him look all world. I don't know. We loved doing that last year. But again, this is not last year's team. That's my biggest thing I keep harping on. And I know there are players on this team that were here last year. But this is a program that is building. And no matter how this season ends, we'll continue to build season by season. And I think that's where, and we go back to the NIL stuff and how just the whole landscape has changed. You have to have a Mike Elko to be successful because that includes like managing your program, right? I mean,
Right.
you've got to be a GM on top of being a coach, whereas in the pros, they've got GMs, they got all this stuff. Like you have to do that all. And part of that is looking inward at your program objectively and figuring out where you're bad. What are we doing wrong and what are we missing? And being able to address that by bringing players in the portal, still recruiting as well in high school because you've got to build depth and even bringing in kids from the portal as depth pieces. So I think it's an incredibly harder job at the college level than it is at the pro level.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when it's a year-over-year deal, whereas in the NFL, yeah, you're going to lose some key players here and there. Some guys are retire. Sometimes they're going to have, new contracts that got to get negotiated out. But largely, you maintain a core, right? I mean, you're going to have O linemen that have been there. I mean, Jake Matthews has been in Atlanta for how long? I mean, you have
Since the
had,
Clinton administration?
yeah, feels like it.
Yes, right.
All right, so you have these stable people that you can sit here and rely on that are going to be in your program. I mean, most of the time these days, you're going to be lucky to get 2 or 3 years out of most of these kids if you're lucky. So you have to take advantage of each of those individual deals. This particular team, they play for each other. They know what the end goal is. Their coach has been just light years different in terms of attitude, in terms of presentation. And above all else, the dude commands his team. And they listen and they understand and they respect. And he's got a great staff around him too. So it's just all the parts and pieces are falling together for A&M to go out and do something great. Now, you are in the final third of the regular season. You need to win at least one more SEC game. I'll just go ahead and say, go ahead and at least win two. And you're going to be sitting plenty pretty to do the things that you think you need to do to accomplish a great season in this town.
Yeah, and I'm sure something along the lines for Elko is the word is finish, right? Finish. That's what we got to do. And you got to finish every play. You got to finish every quarter. You got to finish every drive. You got to finish every game. And then we got to do reload and do it all over the next week. But the beauty of it is, if we finish this week, I think there's going to be a mentality. I know that we beat the tar out of LSU, right? But 3 games in 4 weeks on the road, if we're able to go into Columbia and beat Missouri. And I know like we're in the back third, but this is also a section of our schedule that was daunting preseason. And quite frankly, going on the road in the SEC is still not easy no matter where you go. Ask teams a couple of years ago about heading to Vandy and heading to Starkville. And if you can close off this box, like block of games, and knowing you're going back home to the 12th man for 2 weeks, that it's gonna feel different when they're talking about packing up and going home.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about milk and cookies at that point. You're gonna be sitting nice after this week. Like, this is the end of this particular road for the road games. All you have to do, get out there, take care of your business against Mizzou, which you are more than capable of doing. And you get rewarded by coming back to Kyle Field. You're gonna have a chance to take on South Carolina. It's gonna be an early kick. That's fine.
It's
That is
not going to matter. The 12th man is going to be dying to get in that stadium. It's not
right.
going to matter.
Exactly. You're gonna have your fans. It's probably gonna be 100 and 100 plus thousand without question.
Weather's probably going to be perfect.
Right, you're talking, it's gonna be great. And all the while, it's gonna be an early kick for South Carolina. They're gonna be groggy getting in there. That's perfect. Everything's setting up nicely for that. You just need to go out there and take care of your business this week,
And
which
then
we know you can. Yeah.
you've got Samford. You think about Samford, these are the games where normally you get like 98,000, 100,000, and most of them are gone by halftime. This
I've
is like one
seen
of the
the.
last affordable football games for people that want to see this team that might
Right.
go through something incredibly special. They want to see him. Don't be surprised if you have 107,000 for Samford.
The tickets have been insane. I've seen them. Like, I was looking at them ahead of time just for posterity, because looking at my schedule, it looked like I was gonna be pretty clear coming into that weekend. Like, oh hey, I might just go to the Samford game. I'm looking at tickets for Samford. I'm like, oh wow. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, these are the type of games that we would go out and pay. I mean, I could get a ticket for 25, 30, 40 bucks.
You go on ticket exchange on Tex Ags, they just give them away. Like, hey, I want to give them away to your first responder or something. Like, man, these tickets are getting sold. Like, this is probably, and I wouldn't even begin to know how to research this, but this is probably one of the most expensive tickets that Samford has ever created. And they didn't create it by any means, but like a game that they've been like a part of on the road.
Right.
Look, if we win in Columbia and we beat South Carolina, those tickets are going to be like 750 bucks, 1,000 bucks.
It's gonna be insanity.
To see him play Samford,
Yeah, but that's
to
the
watch
world.
Miles O'Neal play a half a football.
Probably. So, I mean, it's all right there for you, but you have to finish. The
Yeah.
South, like, this Missouri team is not going to be a slouch. They're going to be fighting for every, tooth and nail. It's not, it, you know, it's, but it's once again, desperation mode. Another team that if they want to see their end goals met as far as making the playoff, they have to win out.
Yeah,
And
no,
that's assuming everything else works out.
it's desperation mode for
Yeah.
Missouri. They have to win out, and they can't win out without winning this game. So it's like you said, their backs are absolutely against the wall. They just got kind of held a, or kind of got dealt a bad hand with their quarterback going down. So it's a tough position for them to be in. But don't expect them to be a rollover team by any means.
No.
But my question for you is really like, is our offensive ceiling is like is it being undersold? Like, can we be better on offense?
I think we can because we've only seen, as far as offensive production, three quarters of work at most, especially with what we saw with that LSU game, right? I mean, you had a very, very slow second quarter and you still put up 49 points on them.
Right?
So I like to
We
think
sucked in
that,
the second quarter.
right. Yeah, we sucked in the second quarter. We lost the second quarter. Nobody's going to argue that. But A&M, I think their upward trajectory is still pretty darn good because you're going to see. Yes, I understand that. We've got Le'Veon Moss out. He, I haven't heard much on when that return might take place. I've heard maybe late.
I've heard so the rumors I've heard is maybe he gets like 4 to 6 carries in the Samford game. Like he could be ready for Samford.
Could be.
They'd like to hold him out at least till Texas. And I think Billy was saying, like, why not just hold him till the playoffs? Like,
Maybe.
do we need him to beat Texas? Suit him
No.
up. If you don't need him, don't use him. Let him get some
Right.
more rest. So
But
it
what?
might be a December football kind of. I think
Sure.
December is really kind of what they're aiming at, if at all possible, because you don't want to rush him back. This guy's had multiple
No.
injuries. I mean, not the same leg, but still.
Well, and see what you get out of the deal, right? Is you get guys like Reuben Owens, and you get guys like, I mean, the entire running back stable, really, they're just
Morrow,
getting.
Daniel, Smith, all of them getting meaningful snaps and all
Yeah.
of them contributing. Look, Amari Daniels, people are, and I'm guilty of it. It feels like an afterthought, but then you look up and you rewatch the game,
Like,
meaningful
wow.
snaps, meaningful touches, positive things for the offense. And it's not always just toting the rock, right? And so
Yeah.
these guys are just the kind of experience that Morrow is getting is going to pay tenfold in the coming
No.
years.
No question. And I love the references to like Devon A-Chain in terms of like forward speed and all that other fun stuff. And that's great and good. Those are good things. But the fact that each of these guys are going to continue to get reps, and then all of a sudden you have a chance to throw Le'Veon Moss back on the pile if he's feeling spunky, and you have this entire running back stable to work with. Holy cow. And all you got to do is look at Marcell Reed, who has still not perfect by any means.
Oh, he's got such a higher ceiling than where he's at right now, and he's playing,
That's
and he's
why
really.
offensively we can continue to get better. Like I said, this team is continuing to find themselves in their identity.
Ashton Bethel Roman, another great example.
Incredible,
Wasn't
incredible
getting
addition.
touches, just kind of wasn't. I mean, it was the Craver and Concepcion show, which by all means
Fair.
they earned it, and that's fair. But for Bethel Roman to now you've got a third weapon, and when you watch the Pulse and you see these locker room
And the
videos.
tight ends.
They're just, it's a rotation, and you see,
Rotation.
hell, the offensive line rotates. They play seven offensive linemen a game.
It's
But,
wild.
and you see this team, you see them in the locker room, and you don't see anybody with their head down because they didn't get to play or they didn't get to play as many snaps as they wanted to. It's like the running back room feels like one running back. The wide receiver room feels like one wide receiver. Like they're playing together, they're playing for each other. They hype each other up when they're doing well. And this is something that you run into in the NIL area. I'm going back and touching on this. Not getting enough touches, not get as many touches as I thought, and being a little selfish in the sense that I'm like kind of me. I want all the touches, so I'm gonna leave and find a place where I can. EJ Smith could have left, man. I mean,
He
he
could have.
wasn't getting a ton. I mean, Amari Daniels probably could have rolled if he wanted to, but they stayed, and because they knew what they had coming back, and they realized that this is an offense that's going to utilize all of them because they do have slightly different skill sets that all apply within this offensive kind of production that Colin Klein's putting on. Oh, and by the way, I don't think Colin Klein's going anywhere this year. Maybe next year.
Well, that's where my brain is. I think he's holding out for Kansas State, but yeah,
Yeah,
but
Kansas State's starting to do a little bit better. I don't think he wants to go anywhere other than that.
no. Yeah, I mean, right now, we know what's in front of us. Everybody knows it. We're excited about it. I'm looking forward to see how this game pans out this week. Obviously, we'll get into our picks here in a minute, but things have looked up all right. We're not complaining. Life's good.
It
Just get
is.
out there and win
No,
it.
it is. And I don't care how the teams have turned out on our schedule relative to how they looked at pre. I don't care. Just win.
None
Just
of it
win.
matters. None of it matters. Because
Your record doesn't matter.
you know what's gonna end up happening? A&M, let's just say, let's have a big old hypothetical here. Let's say A&M does exactly what we want them to do. Let's say they win out. 12-0, yada yada yada. You go to the you go into the SEC championship game. At that point, you're playing for seeding in the top
Yeah.
four, right? Okay, let's say that pans out. A&M goes on their run and gets it all the way done. You know what we're gonna hear from people? It was a one-time deal. Is Elko really all that good? Aggie's still gonna Aggie. It doesn't matter with these people. It does not matter. They're gonna continue to push the goalpost. Yeah, get back to me when you win four, or get back to me when you win six. That's all. I mean, that's all it's gonna happen, right?
Well,
So you
that's
just
what
gotta
we
go out
get
there and
is
win.
like don't worry about what anybody says. Like
No.
they can say anything they want to. It doesn't matter. If you win games, you win games. And if you win the
Hey,
rest of your games, you get a trophy.
not a
So
single person that played on the 2016 Cubs, nor none of their fans, are going to sit here and come back and be like, oh, well, we won that one, but we haven't done jack diddly squat since then. No, you broke a curse then.
yeah.
Like,
Thank God we're in the postseason this year.
right, shit like that matters to these people.
Yeah, well, and it matters to the program, like
Yeah.
or the ball club or the organization. It
Right.
matters because you automatically make yourself more attractive,
You
no matter
do.
how great it looks right now. The situation and the culture and Coach Elko and everything looks good and it's attractive. You win a championship, man, that perception goes firing through the roof, and that's when you get to like start being a little bit more hand picking out of the portal.
Right.
Your high school recruiting is gonna improve. No matter how good it is, it'll be better.
Right.
So it's. Winning a national championship is a program-changing event for anybody outside of Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, Alabama.
Yeah,
That's kind of.
look at Clemson, right? I mean, before, and hell, even look at Georgia. Georgia's previous championships championship before all this was like 1980, right? And then you had, what was it? I think it was 82 was Clemson, right? You see two programs that largely throughout the 90s and the 2000s and even a good portion of the early 2010s, competitive, sure, but they weren't winning national titles. They were kind of afterthoughts,
Couldn't get over the hump.
right? And
That's
then
why
all
they
of a
fired
sudden,
Mark Richt. That dude won 10 games a year, literally every year, and they fired him because they wanted more. That's what LSU just said. LSU just said, I don't care what you've done, you're not getting it done. That's what Penn State said. James Franklin, you can't win the big one, and you've had Drew Aller at quarterback for the better part of 2 decades, and you still haven't figured it out.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to end up working out one way or the other. If you win championships, it changes the entire game for who your school is in the eyes of everybody else. A&M wins a national title this decade. You know, 20 years on from the last time Texas won one, that's a big difference. There's not a single high school recruit who has seen Texas win a national title in football. A&M winning a national title this year, that's all they know. They can go back and look at the Vince Young highlights all they want.
Yeah, it's
Doesn't
just,
matter.
yeah, but
Yeah,
all right, we're getting ahead of ourselves though.
let's move on. Let's get into our picks.
Yeah. All right, I don't want to. Yeah, last week sucked. We both went 1-4. That's all I'm
Trash.
saying. So now you are 30-22 on the season, and I am 2 games back at 28-24.
All right.
Another kind of crappy slate of games, quite frankly. I had to actually get out of the top. There's only two ranked matchups this week: ours and BYU Tech. Game in Lubbock. Please bring your tortillas. Defy. Bring your
Defy.
tortillas. So we'll go ahead and pick that one first. So it's number 8 BYU's on the road and number 9 Texas Tech. This is a 9.5 point spread for Texas Tech. That seems really high to me.
I would say
We're
that.
not picking spread though, so.
No. Don't get me wrong. I like what BYU has done. They have proven me wrong time and time again. I'll be completely honest. I thought Kansas State was going to get Tech last week. That did not happen. Tech fought hard. Kansas State was in that game. But if I'm being completely intellectually honest, I have very, very good faith for Texas Tech. You're playing at home. Yeah, it's an early kick, but it's also ESPN game day. You got all these other fun things going on. It's a big deal that week. I like Texas Tech in this game. I do. So give me those Red Raiders.
All right, guns up for me too.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, I don't think BYU is a paper tiger by any means, but I don't know that they're the 8th-ranked team in the country, man. I Tech might cover this spread.
I think they will. Hell, I think they win by two scores. If Tech has shown when they win games,
They win
they're
by
going
a
to
lot.
be winning them by 20
Yeah, they
points plus. They're going to
run
blow
away
you
with it.
out.
Yeah. All right, so I have two butt bowls this week because I was just looking for tight spreads.
Yay.
The first is my how the mighty have fallen. Florida State goes to Clemson. Clemson is a 2.5 point favorite at home. I don't have a clue how this game goes. They are both so bad.
Why would you throw in a wild card like this?
Oh,
You're
I've got
wrong.
another one.
You're wrong for that.
Oh, I've got two this week.
So Florida State finally gets back on the horse against Wake last week. And that's great and good. Clemson's on a two-game slide. Yeah, they took care of their business in a couple of games, but I mean, yeah, they've lost to Syracuse, they've lost to SMU, they've lost to Duke. Granted, I think we've seen that SMU is a little bit better than we had initially thought,
Yeah, I think that's fair.
which, I mean, fair enough. I mean, you know, what? I think I'll go Florida State. Why not?
Clemson.
All right.
Only because they're at home.
Only because they're home, and that's fair.
All right, I've got a worse game than that.
Oh, God.
This is like the double butt bowl. 4-4 Maryland on the road at 4-5 Rutgers. The line is a push. There is no line over under at 58. Oh, no, it changed. Oh my gosh. Rutgers is 1.5 point favorites at home, which in theory means Maryland is the better team. Over under 58.5. So you're looking like a 28-25 game.
I mean, I got nothing for Rutgers. I don't know.
Mean, technically, you're looking at a 30-28 game if they cover.
I know nothing about these teams, and frankly, I'm just like, give me Maryland. Terps.
Ash, you're gonna go with the Terps.
Go with Terps.
I'll go with Rutgers.
I mean, might as well. Let's
I gotta catch
wait,
up.
wait, time out, time out. Is this your ploy to try to catch up in the standings? Is
No,
that what you're trying to do here?
I look for tight lines. Dude, look at the lines this week.
Oh,
They're
I
terrible.
seen them. Oh, I
They're
seen.
terrible. I got another tight line, but at least we know these teams. So what are their records? There it is. 6-3, Nebraska is on the road at 3-5, UCLA, and UCLA is favored by 2.5. So they're saying this is a pick 'em game against a team that just extended Matt Rhule, and I still don't know why.
One of the extensions of all time. That's about all I'll say on that.
Just out of fear is my guess.
Yeah, and I mean Nebraska going west too, on top of everything else.
And it's a late kick.
It's like, yeah, man, that's a toughie. That is a toughie.
I wouldn't put money on this game. Like, if
No,
I
I
were
wouldn't
betting
either.
on this game, I wouldn't. This is not one I would pick.
Man,
Want me to go first? It doesn't seem like
go
I'm.
ahead,
Okay,
please.
I'm taking the Bruins. I'm taking the Bruins because I think this extension backfires on Nebraska and it starts on Saturday.
I think you're right. See, that's where my brain was going. I'll go ahead and give you that. Just because, yeah, but I think you're right. Anytime you see those big plays, it's like, phew.
Six
Doesn't
and
matter
three is
now.
getting extension.
Yeah.
Or whatever he was at the time. You taking UCLA then?
Yeah.
All right.
Bruins.
All right, well, we talked plenty about this game. The number three Fight Texas Aggs go on the road to number 19 Missouri and Columbia. Aggs are 6.5 point favorites on the road. I'll just tell you right now, I love the Aggs to cover.
Yeah. I'm with you there. So you might as well put down A&M to win the game. I think
All
A&M wins the game. Based on at this point, I think depth, coaching, and the fact that I don't think the road environment's going to hurt us all that bad. I think A&M knows who they are at this point. They know what's in front of them. Missouri's in desperation mode, which means they're going to push, and pushing, especially with a freshman quarterback, can lead to mistakes. That's my thing. Find a way to maybe score some turnovers. That's one thing we didn't do in that LSU game was get turnovers. Let's force turnovers. Let's create a little chaos on the backfield. Force a bad throw here and there. Let's get
Yeah,
after it.
and of the places they've played, yeah, even though Missouri has expanded, it is probably one of the least, if not the least, intimidating environments in the country. I
Right.
mean, at least state's got cowbells, you know, so it's not going to be fazed by the environment. So I look at the Aggs roll to the tune of something like 28-10, something like that.
It's time to complete the trifecta of the Tiger Hunt.
Yeah, right.
Let's say,
That was a good.
I mean, you already got the blue and orange one on the wall. You already got the purple and gold one on the wall. You might as well get the gold and black one on the wall.
All
So
right, questions.
we have a handful. So let's go ahead and get into those real quick. Dr. Chad E. Nelson
Nope.
fires in. He asked, what is your preferred ranking for A&M in the college football playoff poll tonight? I'm going to say three. I'm okay with where we were sitting at with three. I could honestly see them moving us up to two just because of the balance between the Big Ten and the SEC. They're going to want to have it. I don't know.
To me, two or three is irrelevant, but that's where I want to be. I want to be two or three. I don't. That's just where I want to be on the bracket, kind of the proposed bracket right now, just relative to the AP rankings. As much as I'd love to have a home playoff game at Kyle
Same here.
Field, like I'm fine with being in the top four. So yeah, I want to be two or three though. Hey,
Yeah.
they're not going to put us at one. I can't imagine they drop us to four. I mean, we're undefeated. There's nothing you can do about that. Like we just
Yes.
haven't lost a game.
Right, exactly. You've done what you needed to do so far to earn your spot in the top four and comfortably in the top four. So you're fine.
You passed every test.
You passed every test. You're fine.
But I don't want to be four. Like I wouldn't want to have to mess with the one seed earlier.
No, I would rather be a two or three seed. I think that's a good spot to be. A more balanced game at that stage. Plus, you're going to end up having a higher seed to worry about in the earlier rounds. Yeah, be as highly ranked as you can be in that situation. Yes, so two or three would be great. Garrett Smith fires in. He said, "Is it bad luck for Roy to say a team should win by a large margin? A&M big over Arkansas, Vandy big over TU, Army Navy last year. Are you cursed?"
What a dick question.
It's Garrett. I
I'm
didn't
just
ask
terrible at
it.
picking games, man. What am I? I'm four games over 500. Dude, if you're betting, like if you're using your money on my picks, you are a moron.
We love you, Garrett.
Jerk.
Hey, so sometimes you gotta give him some hell, Okay. Jonna asks, I would like to know your thoughts on the coaching carousel. Who's headed where? I'm seeing some wild takes. Give me your wildest carousel coaching carousel take.
My wildest coaching carousel
Yeah.
take.
Well, just go with one of those because, I mean, there's so many right now. We'll be here for another 20 minutes, and I don't have time for that. I'm hungry.
Here's my wildest take. Jimbo Fisher signs a contract before Brian Kelly.
I can see that. And now, if you had to pick a school, where do you think he goes? I've heard Virginia Tech. I've heard Florida State is potentially interested.
That would be absolutely wild.
That'll be funny.
I think his best fit is Virginia Tech.
I agree.
I'll give you one more wild take. I think it's where's James Franklin right now? I think he takes a year off.
He very well might take. Honestly, that would be great. How funny would it be if he's just said, "You know what? I'm gonna wait a year, y'all, y'all."
I'll go be a big noon kickoff analyst.
Yeah, for a year. Just chill out.
Thanks for the money.
Yeah, I mean that's what I would do. I mean just take a year off, take a breathe your head. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, take a breather slash, if the right job isn't there for you, don't take a job just for the sake of coaching.
Okay. I like this one a lot. Okay, so this is from Jive Coach G, and
Oh
it
boy.
is in reference to our opponents at this stage of the game. So why do we keep playing Tiger teams? Auburn, LSU, Mizzou. Can they all get together and figure out who's the sole owner of that mascot? So, who is the real Tiger team of the SEC? What
LSU.
teams have to change their mascot and what should they change it to? I agree with
LSU.
you.
LSU, the true Tigers. Auburn just needs to embrace War Eagle. I mean, they already have two mascots anyway, so they could be the Eagles or the War Eagle. Auburn War Eagles. I have no problem with that.
No, I think it's great.
Missouri can be, I don't care. The Mason Jars. I don't give a shit about
So,
Missouri. The Fighting Mason Jars. I like that.
okay. So, fun fact, Mizzou was one of the OG Tigers back in the day. They're one of the OG Tigers. I will give Mizzou the Tigers, and I'll explain my logic. LSU becomes the Bayou Bengals.
Well, that's fair.
You change up the name. It's not just straight up Tigers, but call them the Bayou Bengals. And I
Yeah,
think
like
that's
it's embraces
completely, it's unique.
since we all call them that.
Right. And I was like, it's unique. It's cool. Just embrace that. Become the Bayou Bengals from Baton Rouge. Boom. Easy peasy. Slap it on a t-shirt. Secondly, it's got to be War Eagle for Auburn. That's the easiest change you could possibly make. You've got two mascots in terms of animals.
That is one of my favorite pregame traditions in
I
the
love
SEC.
it.
That eagle was, yeah, I like flew right over my head. Like super cool, man.
I
Super.
love that. But yes, I would definitely pick. Yeah, that would be my choices. So honestly, great question from
I
Jive Coach
think
G.
mine was just because I feel like LSU's earned it.
I would agree. Historically, yes, LSU, if they've of any of them. Okay, so that begs a question. If one's a bulldog, if Georgia's the Bulldogs, what would you do to state?
Cowbells.
Just call them the Cowbells.
Call them Clanger.
Clanga. Anyway. Cool. So we got that. I think that just about clears up the questions. I do want to have a quick bonus segment here at the end of the podcast. It's going to be super fast, just like fighting Texas Aggie basketball. Buckyball is here, and we scored 98 points last night.
Yep, and that's honestly not playing very well. Relative to what Bucky's expectations are.
And missing one of our starters. 98 points.
Yeah,
High
Pop
pressure.
Isaacs. Yeah, Pop Isaacs play, but I mean, that was I heard it this morning. Luke Evangelist was talking about it. Like that was basically his first practice of the year with the team. Kind of. I mean, he hasn't been practicing because he's been injured. So, I think this team is going to be really fun. That Oklahoma State game. The non-conference looms real big. I think that's going to be real interesting.
There's gonna be a lot of really interesting things to keep up with this team.
They'll come, though.
I
They'll
mean,
come.
they took care of their business and their little scrimmage to start the season against Arizona State. What, 95-88?
Yep.
Defense leaves a little, to be desired, but that's what you sacrifice for getting down and playing a fast level football. And also, I mean, basketball. On top of that, I mean, you were shooting how well from three and free point, and free throws and all these different things. Those are things that we have lacked on that we are seeing better here. Ooh.
No,
Yeah, I understand it's Northwestern State, but still.
it looks like it's going to be a ton. Well, I mean, they beat Northwestern State by how much they should have beat
30
Northwestern
points.
State. You
Smoked
just
them.
look at the names on the jersey. So it's exciting. It's still an evolving, growing program and style of play and getting used to it. But obviously, it looks like it's going to be a ton of fun. And one extra thing to add in here, Aggie volleyball beating the hell out of TU, handing them their first loss of the season on Friday night, and then they turn around, hop on a plane, and have to go to Knoxville to play the number 16 team in the country and beat Tennessee. Two ranked wins in one weekend is bonkers, especially with one of them being on the road. And now you're up to sixth in the country, which is the highest rank ever for Aggie volleyball. So they have been a blast to watch.
Impressive. I'm thrilled for them. I'm glad they're doing great. And
Jamie Morrison, I'm telling you, I keep saying, building the monster, man, building the monster.
yeah, he's been kicking butt and taking names. So no complaints on that front at all. So anyway, best of the rest of my week. I'm here. I'm gonna be rocking and rolling over to Wichita, Kansas on Thursday for a show. Then we're heading up to Des Moines, Iowa. Then we're coming back down to Columbia on Saturday. So if you're in and around and you're a regular listener on the podcast and you want to come check us out, we are playing a show at the Blue Note there in Columbia, Missouri. After the game, come hang out, win or lose. Let's just party. Have a good time.
Well, and what if you go to Carson Jeffrey's socials, you'll have, all your tour dates and everything. So,
Okay, all the information's on there. So we'd be happy to have you on there.
yep.
So.
All right, man. Back
Yeah.
to game week.
Back to game week. We couldn't be more excited to be in it. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to check out all of our socials. We mentioned them time and time again. If you're on the YouTube, both of our handles are down there at the bottom. We're on Instagram. We're on X. Looking forward to having all y'all out there. Thank you so much. Gig'em.
Like, subscribe, turn on those notifications. If you can, please comment on the YouTube. It helps with the algorithm. So and
Yeah.
just just the pace. So if you can, just even a thumbs up or a middle finger if you don't like us. I'm fine with that too.
It's
Just
fine.
comment. Just comment.
We're happy with it, y'all. Thank you so much. Gig 'em. Beat the ever-living hell out of Mizzou. We'll see you next week.
Later.